Hi, I'm Vivek Kartha, and welcome to Deconstructed. Every episode, we're discussing the future of the world's largest asset class, real estate, through the eyes of the people who live and breathe it. Thank you for joining us, and let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Workspace. Workspace has built a better way to manage real estate without all the clicks. With a suite of modern, intuitive products for commercial real estate operators, Workspace reduces the friction between assets, data, and people, allowing CRE professionals to streamline all their daily operations across property management, asset management, and beyond. Learn more at www.goworkspace.com. We're here today with John Myers, Managing Director of Property Management in the South Central region for JLL. John, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
John, I want to get right into it. As we are 14 months into this pandemic, it feels like in some markets we're rounding the corner. What are you paying attention to?
Well, clearly the first thing we're paying attention to is the actual physical occupancy of the buildings. Clearly with the pandemic, and many buildings were shut down by the various entities, the work transformed from being done in the office to remote locations, and that was a transformative event for the industry. And so in our markets, we're seeing a fairly significant return to the office by people, but other markets, I think, are a lot slower to return there.
How do you think about what's permanent and what's fad? So people may return to the office, but I'm hearing and reading co-working is going to be 30% of office in the future, that a lot of companies are going to follow Twitter and be decentralized forever. How are you making sense of all that?
That is a great question. The reality is nobody knows. Fads and trends tend to look identical in the beginning. So clearly there is more remote work being done right now than there was a year ago. We don't know how much of that is going to be a long-term trend and not. And I don't think we will know that for another year or more. It'll be interesting to see how companies adapt to that and what impact it has on the commercial real estate space and how much space they occupy in buildings.
Out of curiosity, are you and your team working through some of that as a guinea pig on yourselves? What's your current office stance?
Clearly we are. So our particular office is 100% occupied, but we've got a fairly large office, so we can socially distance easily. Our industry was considered essential workers early in the pandemic, so we were allowed to work. Some of our other corporate offices are higher density in other markets, and so the percentage of employees back in the office varies by region and by building. So it really is truly a testbed of what's happening for the industry and for other types of companies. But your point is valid. It's really a moving target.
Real estate is one of those classic cyclical industries. So we've experienced downturns before, crises before. This one feels a little bit different. When you think about what feels similar and what feels different, what comes to mind?
So clearly the biggest difference is the number of people in buildings. And it does take getting used to going into a big building and having very few people there. It has been interesting that overall commercial real estate, particularly, and I'm talking about the office sector, that the vast majority of tenants have continued to pay their rents. So the values of buildings haven't significantly changed. The true test of that will be over the next couple of years as leases expire, and we've had a chance to see what impact, long-term impact, this pandemic has been. It will be interesting to see what impact that has on the amount of office space utilized by companies that presently have lease space.
Well, one of the long-term trends that I don't think is a fad, I think is a trend that comes up constantly, is that this is the era of technology in real estate. The time is now. The last year accelerated it. How do you cut through all the noise with all the prop tech, VCs, headlines, and just think about this massively growing technology space coming towards your industry?
That is another great question. And commercial real estate has been historically fairly slow to adopt new technologies. They've generally not been on the leading edge of the adoption wave. They tend to stay more in the middle of that. And there's a number of reasons for that. But where we're seeing the biggest change in commercial real estate or prop tech is really on the leading edge of some of the things, such as on the leasing side with virtual tours and on the ownership side with some really good analytical tools that we're seeing. That's the biggest change. So if you look at a commercial real estate building, you've got really several buckets of technology. One is just building operations, how to run the mechanical plants and the elevators and the access control systems. You've got another bucket that's the manager's tools to operate the facility. And then you've got a third bucket that's really more tenant-facing. So another area we're seeing rapid adoption is on the tenant-facing part of that, with virtual concierge and way for the tenant experience, even if they're physically not in the building, to remain connected to the tenant and the user there. So those are areas where we're seeing a rapid engagement of technology in the industry.
Earlier, you had mentioned to me a little bit about the dynamic between owners and operators and how that sort of plays out in terms of what gets adopted, what has sufficient ROI, what gets justification to invest in. Can you expand a little bit on that?
I will. And one of the barriers, I guess you could use the term, of rapid adoption of technology in commercial real estate is that most of the buildings are owned by different investment groups, different individuals. So, and the hold period of commercial real estate really has dramatically shrunk. And so previously, if you had an ownership entity that owned a building for 10 or 15 years, they might invest in a technology that took a 5 or 10 year payback. But if the hold period shrinks to 3 to 5 years, then they're going to have to look at a very accelerated payback in order to justify the expense to implement one of those technologies. So it really has made a difference. So if you look out your window and you see a lot of office buildings, they might look very similar, but each one has a different ownership and a different investment objective and a different hold period. So it's not monolithic. It's very individualized.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that, generally speaking, smaller cycle times or lower hold periods create kind of a disincentive, perhaps, to invest in larger scale technology projects. Do you see that differ in your world based on ownership groups? Do some lean to being more techie and some lean to being more tech averse? Or is it more generalized than that?
Oh, you're absolutely right that some ownership groups are much more inclined to adopt new technologies than others. And so that further impacts the adoption rate of technologies. But clearly, yes, there are some firms who want to be on the more leading edge of the technology adoption curve. Some others are, I don't want to do anything. I'm going to sell this building in a year or 2 years. Let the next owner deal with that. So clearly that has a big impact on the adoption of technologies.
Ultimately, we're talking about the largest asset class in the world, right? It's a financial market. So my guess or my hypothesis is if technology can show an ROI, if the tech-leaning owners can show that they perform better, the proof's sort of in the pudding. Are we not quite there yet, or is that too hard to prove out, or am I thinking about that wrong?
You're right, but you have to look at it more on the micro level and depends on what kind of technology you're talking about. So if you're talking about the actual building systems again, if you're talking about upgrading a building's energy management system and it provides a very incremental improvement in the operations, that's a less likely technology to be adopted than by something that's like, let's say, a tenant platform that increases engagement with the tenants and increases the likelihood of a lease renewal. So again, it depends on what bucket you're talking about, of what the adoption rates and the appetite for that thing is.
So you're at JLL, which I think most in the industry would say is among the leading innovators. You're also on the services side and as an operator, and your team works on the property management side. What do you see as your role and your team's role in ushering in technology? You certainly have a voice and the credentials, but perhaps you don't have the bottom line or the balance sheet without being an owner. How do you think about that?
Well, yes, JLL has been very aggressive on trying to identify and recommend to owners what technologies are useful to them. So a number of years ago, JLL started a $100 million technology fund to invest in startups for commercial real estate. We've also got a JLL enterprise that helps to identify, sort through, analyze, and make recommendations to owners about that. So there are right now approximately 2,500 different companies that offer some sort of technology solution for commercial real estate. It's a little bit like going to a buffet and seeing 2,500 items on the menu, and it's pretty quickly overwhelming. And so you need somebody to help sort you to go to different stations and pick, you know, 10 things for your plate, because you obviously can't put 2,500 items on your plate. So our role really is to help owners sort through the buffet, if you will, and pick the things that can really help them, the things that will make their asset more valuable.
It's hard for me to even picture going back to a buffet after the last year, but the point is, we'll take it. I remember what that was like. If you think back and you've seen technology evolve over the last several decades in commercial real estate, and there have been certainly some softwares and some platforms and some technologies that have become commonplace, what advice would you give to people, owners, as they're thinking about implementing technology or selecting from that massive buffet?
Well, first I would say be open-minded and be willing to explore technologies that you might not have considered in the past, because the technology is amazing what's available today. And if you're in a bit of a silo and you're not exposed to the things that are out there that could help you, you're not going to know about them. So I think just being open-minded about what's out there, and not only for your industry, but also personally, just your life, the technologies that are out there available to all of us, they really are amazing. We live in the most amazing time. It's exciting to be a part of.
That brings us nicely to the last topic I wanted to ask you a little bit about. You've got, and you shared with me earlier, kind of an amazing entrepreneurial story that probably is worth the podcast in and of itself. But when you think about people that are starting off their career in this industry, and all the talent and the team building you've done over your career, what advice would you give people who are looking to make a career out of commercial real estate?
I'd say three things. Number one, the advantage of commercial real estate is the assets are tangible. So they're going to be here. They need somebody to manage and lease and own them. So it's a great industry from that standpoint. And as you alluded to, it's an enormous industry. There's a lot of assets. Now, on a more personal level, I would say to an individual, stay curious, be open-minded about what opportunities are out there and what's new, because a mind expanded by an idea can never shrink back to its original size. And then I would say, lastly, perhaps a component of what we do that's a little bit underrated is the people skills. So we're talking about technology, and technology skills are really important, but people skills are also vitally important. And if you're really good on the people side, it's a huge accelerator to your career, whether it's commercial real estate or any other industry. So be good at dealing with people.
Yeah, that's probably good advice for just about every job out there. Doesn't hurt.
Right.
Well, John, thank you so much for your time. You've been very gracious, and thanks for providing a lot of that advice and outlook. And we've really loved having you on the show.
Well, Vivek, thank you very much for the invitation. I look forward to talking again.
Take care.
All right.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening. And as always, a very special thank you to our guests. We'll be back soon, so please subscribe to Deconstructed on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. More details can be found at www.goworkspace.com/podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Workspace. Workspace has built a better way to manage real estate without all the clicks. With a suite of modern, intuitive products for commercial real estate operators, Workspace reduces the friction between assets, data, and people, allowing CRE professionals to streamline all their daily operations across property management, asset management, and beyond. Learn more at www.goworkspace.com.